All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Hi, I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We are excited to talk about National Heart Month. And we have Gina Cloth and Camila Camacho here from the American Heart Association. Thank you guys so much for being on the air with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All righty. You know, we've had Gina's origin story, but we're a family show. We like to tell origin stories. Tell us, Camila, how you are involved as an intern now for the Heart Association, helping Gina out.
So I came here to the United States like 6 years ago, and I went to Gannon for an undergrad, and now I'm doing my master's, and now I'm doing an internship with Gina and with the American Heart Association, and I'm very happy to be here today.
What's your major, and what do you hope to do once you graduate?
My major is sport and exercise science, and I would like to work on public health. Lately, it's just fascinating to me to help people and not just being around, not doing anything. I would like to help people, and this is a great opportunity for me to help.
There's no doubt about it. Public health, this is kind of what you do day in and day out, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Joel, and it's such an honor to work with Camila. The first day I met her, she was just a burst of energy. Her enthusiasm, you can just tell she has a beautiful heart.
Sure.
And she wants to help people. And, you know, this is an unpaid internship, so this is basically a volunteer experience. But I hope that she will learn so much, and that certainly it will be of value, and not only her resume, right?
Right.
But in her life, right? So we did a huge event a few days ago with UPMC Hammett, where we reached hundreds of Erie women with health messaging.
Oh, wow.
Camila, you enjoyed that, right? You met a lot of nice people, didn't we?
They were so sweet. They were really nice. I enjoyed that time.
And that was on National Wear Red Day, our large push for women's health. As you may recall, Joel, number one killer of women over the age of 25. A woman dies every minute in this country. So helping them recognize warning signs, you know, empowering them to know their numbers and their family history, really important.
It really is shocking to think that, you know, that heart disease has become this significant for women, because women seem to, you know, or at least we thought they had more of an approach to taking care of their bodies, taking care of themselves. And you always heard about that old guy that smoked too much or ate too much, and they were the ones that were the heart attack risk. You
well,
know?
That's the misconception. So about 15, 20 years ago, we created the Go Red for Women initiative, which really helped, you know, raise awareness and empower women specifically, but also every man, Joel, has a woman in his life that he loves.
Yeah.
A mother, a sister, a wife, a daughter. I could go on and on. So it was really important that we educate folks. But one of the misconceptions is, you know, women oftentimes ignore warning signs. They look different from men many times. Mm-hmm. And number two, women we're great caregivers, Joel.
Yeah.
We love to take care of everybody, but we often put ourselves last. And so this is really about creating an energy where women start to recognize the warning signs so that we're here for the people who need us the most.
Is there a specific screening when it comes to women and heart health?
So there's always screenings, particularly if you have a high family history, right? Okay. If mom and dad's side, someone died under the age of 50, 40, 30, you know, then clearly you want to have a conversation with your healthcare professional, perhaps be referred to a cardiologist, you know, for things like stress tests, et cetera. All people, right, should know the warning signs of a heart attack. All people should know their numbers and how to manage them. Things right. like your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your fasting glucose, your BMI. Those are the, you know, knowledge is power type of things that we would encourage everyone to know. And oftentimes women, unfortunately, we just get busy. You know, we're right. we're raising families, we're working outside the home, we're volunteering, driving kids to sports, you know, and oftentimes we neglect our own needs.
The annual blood work is kind of the base, right? I mean, that's
sure. I mean, we encourage that you see a doctor at least every year.
Okay.
One of the things, unfortunately, post-COVID, right, mm-hmm. is that folks have let that slip off the
sure.
radar for a variety of reasons, right? And so there are issues with transportation. There are issues. Some folks are still afraid, you know, to go to their healthcare professional, or they just don't have time. And so, like, helping them understand the value of having that relationship with their healthcare professional at least every year to get the blood work, you know, to get the numbers that they need, like their blood pressure, et cetera, to empower them to make healthy choices, or use medication therapy if needed.
Yeah, there's a lot of meds that you know, if you watch the news, there's a lot of meds for a lot of different things here. Is there anything you know, that seems to be kind of a real promising therapeutic?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm so proud of the work when we have the Heart Walk and the mm-hmm. Heart Ball here. You know, we're raising money that's funding research, but also funding local community impact initiatives.
Right.
However, you know, one of the things that's really, you know, coming to fruition are things like, you know, One Brave Idea or precision medicine. These are cutting edge concepts that are going to introduce new medications and therapies, treatments and surgeries in our lifetime,
wow.
right? We're really excited about that, and we're really committed to that. And we can't do that without volunteers and fundraisers, you know, these events that are happening throughout the country. Having said that, individuals have to take charge of their own health.
Mm-hmm.
We can raise all the money. We can fund the best science in the world. But if you do not take the initiative to see your doctor, to make healthier choices, right, to stay on your medication, things like blood pressure, which are saving lives,
yeah.
then, you know, that's there is a gap there, right? And that's what we're really trying to do, is empower people, educate them,
mm-hmm.
and close the gap on
sure.
things like access to healthcare, right, access to healthy foods. We want the healthy choice to be the health, the easy choice. And programs that Camille is working on, like, you know, the exercise, like something as simple as walking daily
right.
has great benefits, right? And you don't have to go out and buy an expensive mm-hmm. treadmill. You don't have to go out and buy that expensive gym membership. Although I love my Downtown Y membership.
Sure.
It's really important that we get out and move more. And the weather's been great. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Camilla, as you are coming up through, you know, with this advanced degree, talk about what Gina says when she talks about access, because that seems to be, and especially in an urban environment where we are right now, that people either don't have the money to go see their healthcare provider or to get their screenings, or there's a fear or a lack of trust in the system itself. Maybe they've been burned by a hospital visit or something. What are you seeing about access?
I just think people oftentimes think exercise is just weights and going to the gym and paying for a membership.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that you can go out and walk and run. And even like going to the grocery shop is basically exercise.
Oh, of course.
So yeah. I just think they need to think it through and see life more than just like going to the gym and
yeah.
doing like some weights, because I'm scared of looking dumb in the gym or not being able to do it as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to think, I'm capable of going out, trying new things, try something that I like doing,
yeah,
and find what they like the most. If they like running, keep running. If they like walking, keep walking. If they like to go to a Zumba class, go to a Zumba class. Like, they don't need to be afraid of trying those things and find what they like the most.
Well, you can go and do yoga in your living room, right?
I mean, exactly. Yeah, you can. You can use TikTok to put a class on it and just choose the type of workout that you want to do.
Jill, don't you think her generation is introducing us to new resources digitally that we never had before, right? Like TikTok,
well,
for example.
Well, we used to have to buy a videotape, a VCR tape with Jane Fonda.
Right. This is all foreign probably to Camila. Yeah, right. She's
but now it's all there for free on YouTube, on TikTok.
On your phone, on your laptop, on your television.
Yeah.
And so I get excited when I work with young people like Camila because they teach me new things about digital resources, but also they are sharing with us, the aging population, that there are other ways to move more. There are other ways to access these resources that we haven't had traditionally before, right? So it's exciting, and it's a beautiful time to work with people like Camila that want to help others as well.
Well, and there's a lot to be said about, you mentioned aging, the aging population. Just that movement and keeping the mechanics of the body going is pretty crucial, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The more you move, the happier you are, basically.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that if you move, you're going to have a better health, you're going to have a better mood, you're going to be friendlier with people. So exercise is everything.
It is proven. Yeah. It does help mental health, which is one of those key components that we work with under healthy living, right? So moving more can help with your mental health as well. It's a very good point, Camila.
This whole holistic approach. Let's talk about your organization, Gina. 100 years, pretty remarkable stuff, you know?
Very proud. We're celebrating 2024, June 12th of 2024, our 100-year anniversary. In 1924, Joel, 6 cardiologists in New York City founded the original American Heart Association. So this year, we're celebrating in many ways through our Bold Hearts Initiative. We're having bold conversations and doing bold work with amazing people like Camila in our community to help raise awareness, save lives, move the mission forward. We are a relentless force right here in Erie County.
It is really remarkable, and it affects so many people. I'm thinking about that little boy, Jonah Allgaier, waiting for a heart at Cleveland Clinic right now. And again, it could be something as, extremely serious in such a big deal as that, or something like, you know what, we just got to keep moving and get our heart rates and our resting rates. This is why I bought this watch, to bust my chops that I get up and time to stand, time to move, all that stuff, right? Because we don't do it automatically, especially with a centenary kind of job that I have.
Yeah, we were just talking about those digital resources that are available to us now, Joel, that we didn't have 10, 15, 20 years ago. So it's an exciting time, right, for the future generation, for our generation. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue the work that we do. But we also have to continue to serve those in Erie's and the county's most under-resourced communities. Yeah. So that community impact work that's closing the gap around nutrition security, mental well-being, really, really tobacco prevention work in the schools, our work around hypertension, women's health, and the Nation of Lifesavers, our CPR initiative, really, really important work. We have a board of directors and local volunteers, leaders, as well as our internships that are really helping us push this forward here. We can't do it alone. So collaborations with other organizations are key to to getting the work done.
Let's go through some of the big, medical things that we're pushing this year for American Heart Month. And this explanation of cardiac arrest versus heart attack, do you know the difference? You just helped me today on understanding this. All right, so let's start with cardiac arrest.
Yeah, so it's the specialized field. And you've got the little cheat sheet in front of you that you could easily read. But it's the plumber versus the electrician, right? And it's a specialized field. So when you're in cardiology, you know, not everyone is going to fit one. You know, there are two different ways to come in a medical emergency when it comes to your heart.
Wow. So so cardiac arrest is an electrical problem, and it's triggered by a electrical malfunction in the heart that causes an arrhythmia, which is an irregular heartbeat. With the pumping action disrupted, the heart can't pump blood to the brain and other organs. And this is probably what happened with the football player, right?
Correct. Yep.
With
DeMar Hamlin.
DeMar Hamlin from the Bills.
Correct.
And what was essential, talking about CPR, it was that CPR piece.
It was
they
the
worked
combined,
on him for minutes and minutes.
It was the combined CPR and the use of the AED. So those medical first responders that were there, and I knew immediately. I knew there was no question. I knew immediately what had happened.
Because his arteries are probably fully clear.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Right. Which is the other side. Right?
But I'm so proud of something that was so horrible and the entire nation watched.
Yes.
How he's now a spokesperson for our organization pushing individuals to learn CPR. CPR saves lives.
Yeah.
And the critical nature of Nation of Lifesavers and our work specifically around athletes and cardiac arrest. We're doing a lot of work. I had a great meeting up at the Erie Sports Center recently to talk about, you know, how do we expand knowledge? How do we get young people trained, right? They're the most interesting group to train because our research says if you're in middle school and you learn CPR, you're going to teach three other people CPR.
Interesting. Wow.
Whereas it's harder for adults to share that knowledge. They're less inclined to do that. Mm-hmm. But kids are like little sponges and they get excited and they want to go teach other people.
Sure.
So there is a really important target audience for us. As long as you're strong enough to do compressions, and I think that we base that right around age 9.
Okay.
Then we want you to learn CPR and we want you to learn hands-only CPR so that in the event of an emergency, right, an over 300 cardiac arrests happen outside of the hospital, right? So they're in the airport, they're in a mall, they're on a sports field, right?
Right.
So that combined action of using CPR with an AED is what saved DeMar's life.
Talk about the prevalence of AEDs. Is it becoming more ubiquitous, or do we need to work more on getting AEDs close to where there could be a problem?
There is always room for improvement, Joel.
Yeah.
But I would say without a doubt that after DeMar's incident, our call center was ringing off the hook.
Oh,
people wanted to know where to buy them. People wanted to learn how to use them. And it's interesting, though, because what we're seeing now is organizations that had the money, you know, there's several thousand dollars to go out and buy one, didn't necessarily take the steps to train people how to use them.
Oh, wow.
So this equipment is sitting, collecting dust, and no one in the center, and there's a lot of turnover in a lot of, you know, businesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe someone was trained and they left and no one now is trained and knows how to use it. So now there's this education campaign about learning how to use an AED as well. But the first chain of survival, of course, is always CPR.
Talking about a heart attack is when you do have a blockage, when blood flow to the heart is blocked. And the longer the person goes without treatment, the greater the damage. And what can you do? It says you basically, whether you think it might be indigestion or, you know, a back strain, you go and call.
You always
and let the
call 911.
Figure that out.
Always call 911 in the event of an emergency. Never try to drive yourself to the hospital. That happens, unfortunately, more often than not.
Oh my.
You put yourself at risk. You put others at risk. And absolutely, you know, having someone in the household that knows CPR, right? But calling 911 is always the first action because We have amazing talent at our health systems here. We have many health systems with tons of talented cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and they are trained, right? That door to balloon time, right? The time that you hit the door to the time you're on the cath lab table getting your treatment is truly life-saving.
Wow.
And we at the American Heart Association are proud to award the local hospitals with recognitions for what we call perfect patient care.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, they're quite competitive about making sure that they improve that data so that they're saving more lives. And so that's a really exciting concept that's happening here and across the country as well.
That's really remarkable. Yeah, I guess it really, I mean, if they can diagnose it quickly enough,
correct,
they can get him in the cath lab and get that stent in there.
It just happened to my brother-in-law a few months ago.
Oh my gosh.
He was driving from Erie back to New York. He collapsed and went off the road. He was quickly transported by ambulance to UPMC and was quickly right on the cath lab table, got him open, got him healed, and he's doing great today.
Wow.
Now, he's made a lot of diet and lifestyle changes. Yeah. Gary, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
He's lost a lot of weight and he's cut out things like pastries. He had a heck of a sweet tooth. He makes a really good chocolate chip cookie. He's not eating as many of those anymore, but I'm so proud of him recognizing that he had to do lifestyle changes, right? Mm-hmm. That he got a second look at life.
Wow.
Pretty good stuff. And he's young, 50s.
And we've got less than a minute, but we got to remember there's all these strategic connections between obesity, diabetes, and heart disease.
That's exactly right. Yep, those are all contributing factors, right?
Okay.
So sedentary lifestyle, right? Eating behaviors, diabetes is absolutely a risk factor, just like hypertension, just like uncontrolled blood pressure.
Wow. I want to talk about kind of the good work and the big events that are coming up this year for you guys at the American Heart Association. And, you know, at Heart Month, you guys start getting ready for the Heart Ball. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So obviously we're kicking off with all the great things. And one of them is our celebration on June 15th is the 2024 Erie Heart Ball. So proud and so honored to work with the Lewis family from Red Letter Hospitality. Wow, what a dynamite crew. I cannot tell you how thrilling it's been to work with the entire team. They take this very seriously. There's some family history, and they really care about our community. So they're dedicating, as part of their gift to the Heart Association, some of the resources back to the Northeast Community Center and the Booker T. Washington Center, where we will launch Healthy for Life programs. And Camila and our other intern from Mercyhurst have become officially certified by us, and they will train individuals in our community on really important topics like how to read food labels. And then after this 4-week session, Joel, we will reward these participants with gift cards, and they will be able to buy groceries and implement the skills that we taught them over a 4-week period.
Well, give us a little pro tip here on, you know, when you're looking at labels, what's the big thing to watch there?
Yeah, Camila, do you want to speak to that a little bit? You just took your training, or you want me to take a stab at that?
I would say the most important thing is to check for, how much grams of protein are in each product. Sugar content is very important.
Don't they say that if sugar is in the top 3 part of the list, that's always a bad sign or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people, when they see a label, they think about the calories and not about the content. Sometimes calories doesn't mean it's bad.
They need
to take a look and see what's on the product. Like, what's the fat percentage, what's the sugar percentage, and the protein percentage.
We really got messed up by, quote, the low fat thing, because all they did is exchange fat for sugar
or sodium.
My goodness. And that is just, that either, you know, blows up your hypertension, or it puts you into a diabetic shock. It's really remarkable how, like, something natural might have more calories, like you're saying, but it actually might be better for you, like, mm-hmm. you know, olive oil and vinegar kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, so it's exciting to educate individuals because, again, knowledge is power, yeah. right? So what we're learning from these classes, we just did a class at the JFK Center a few months ago that was sponsored by the Plastic Group, and these individuals were, no one ever told us to look mm-hmm. at these things, right, on a can of soup or on a can of vegetables or, you know, and the marketing food giants
yeah.
have gotten really smart with the way that they're wording labels. Mm-hmm. And it's very deceiving because individuals think it's low fat, it's low calorie, it's low mm-hmm. sodium, it's fat free, right? And they've become very creative. So by empowering individuals for programs like what Camila will do for us, we're really giving the power back to the consumer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you find, too, that the concept of access to fresh produce, fresh proteins like meat and fish and chicken and all that, is that still an issue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm a student right now, and it's not as easy for me to even go to Walmart.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. There's so many people downtown that don't have access to a grocery store or to fresh product. So we need to find those like spots or like deserts so that we can help people.
Joel, did you know we have 28 food deserts in Erie?
I did not know that. I know we tried to try to fix one here at North Park Row and you know, that was devastating, but they're hoping to have that come back later in the spring here. So this is again real life stuff, you know, to make, you know, what do you call that, Gina? The healthy for life.
Healthy for life program, right? So when I approach a sponsor and I say, will you come alongside us and sponsor the Heart Ball? It's what we call a beyond the ballroom concept now. So yes, they're still going to get, you know, tickets to the Heart Ball. They're still going to get the party and their banner or whatever. But now we're doing so much more. We're actually looking to solve a problem in our community and, you know, aligning with their values. And so the Lewis family said, we care very much about nutrition security. And so we work with them to identify sites where there is the greatest need. As you may know, Joel, we have the poorest zip code here in Erie, Pennsylvania. So we really help guide our sponsors towards the greatest need, those most under-resourced pockets in our community.
Talk about some of the other events that you have planned.
Yeah,
going through.
So
I know you have a big
things.
Walk and all
yeah,
that stuff,
we've right? got the Heart Walk in the fall, of course, which mm-hmm. will be a huge deal for us. You know, in May we're going to be doing some really exciting things around stroke awareness.
Okay.
You know, raising awareness about warning signs and some other things through a symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly this month, there's still a lot happening, right? We've got a ton of events, private and public, throughout the month. We're doing a bridal show. We've got, you know, some other big events where we're educating women, empowering them, but also making it fun, right?
Yeah.
They want to be there. They want to be a part of it. Or finding ways to, you know, sort of attach our programming onto what they're already doing. JFK is a great example. So we didn't want people to have to make another trip to the center. We attached our program to something they're already doing and love it. And we did it with bingo.
Wow.
So they're already coming for bingo. And so we did the education to complement the bingo program.
I love that. That's amazing.
Because as you know, Joel, transportation is also a barrier
Huge.
In our community.
It's amazing how those social determinants of health really collide.
They're intertwined
with these things, you're pushing a rope, you're trying to make a big difference on a public health level, and you're having to fight not only people's misunderstandings about how their heart works, but this, you know, hey, they're having a hard time having a roof over their head or transportation to go to a thing.
That's exactly right. That's why we reward healthy behaviors with things like gift cards, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think back to the JFK specifically, and we'll do this with Booker T and so many others, when we handed them this $100 or however much dollars it was gift card, literally they started crying because they're like, no one.
Wow.
You know, we already didn't know how we were putting a meal on our table. And now we know how to shop for healthier choices because of the education we received here. So we're moving hills, you know, and eventually mountains because of collaborations.
It's multifaceted, multi-pronged. I mean, you can't just go down one highway. You've got to spread it out.
We're really good about collaborating. Our work with, like, Second Harvest Food Bank, right? Yeah. Our work with all the community centers, GCAC. I could go on and on. The Department of Health is a huge partner. We cannot do this alone, and I love that collaborative spirit. And I think this next generation really enjoys that as well. They love working with other partners to solve a problem.
I want to bring up the one guest that you brought on the air here that had a heart attack that was based in stress. And my question is for Camilla. You may not be aware of this story, but a young teacher had a heart attack, and it was just this incredibly over-the-top stressful time that led to this. And it makes me wonder, with all the conversations that the community is having about mental health with our students and with other folks, young people, older people, what are you seeing from your peers in regards to mental wellness and that stress level that people are dealing with?
I feel like right now we have a ton of pressure.
Is it self-inflicted or is it coming from externals?
I will say external.
Okay.
Like, we need to be someone one day. We need to be doctors or we need to be engineers. And we are always thinking about that goal, but we don't enjoy our life while achieving that goal. So our life passed by and we were not happy. We were stressed about pursuing that goal. So I want to, like, educate my peers and my friends, my family members to enjoy their life, to do what they like doing so that they can achieve that goal as well.
That makes my heart sad.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Right? There is a lot of pressure on today's society and youth in particular.
Well, because the joy is in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the gold ring without working that journey, you know, in the place in, they call it the place in between. And if you can't enjoy that, if you're missing it, if you're not present, or if you're just so overwhelmed mm-hmm. by it, of course our kids are just questioning everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they have a lot of mental issues, because they're always worrying about what people think or if they're going to become that person that they want to be one day.
And social media, mm-hmm. I think, has really 100%. Not, you know, there's a pressure on that front as well. So you've got the family pressure, you've got the societal pressure, but then you've got this image, right, mm-hmm. that social media is portraying, mm-hmm. whether they be celebrities or whatever, that, you know, that your life should always be perfect, right? You should always be the best dressed and have the most money and drive the nicest car and get straight A's in school, right? Mm-hmm. And that isn't real world.
No.
That's not real world stuff.
That's remarkable, because again, it goes right back to our mental, you know, our mental health connecting to our physiological health.
That's right.
And so the stress leads to obesity, which leads to the diabetes, which leads to the, you know, the hypertension in the heart. I mean, it's a crisis if you ask me. My gosh.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think COVID, right, the pandemic, really shone a spotlight on mental health issues in this country. I always say there were a lot of people that were probably hovering on the fence pre-COVID, and now they're probably off the fence in not a good way, right?
Right.
So, you know, our work, we have an amazing mental well-being toolkit. I was just talking to an organization today that has a lot of healthcare professionals, right, that are in the field. As you know, healthcare is short-staffed.
Yeah.
There are frontline workers. They're under a lot of stress, and they're feeling the pinch, and they're needing these resources for their employees. So those are some of the ways that we're helping. But we need, again, a larger collaborative effort to do more for our community.
Wow. All right. We're down to, like, our last 3 minutes or so with the American Heart Association, Gina Clough, Camilla Camacho. Let's talk about some next steps, some healthy choices. You know, just give us those pro tips, that you can encourage us with here and how people could volunteer, because again, you need a bunch of people for the Heart Walk. You need a bunch of people to say, hey, I'm going to buy some tickets to the Heart Ball and so on, you know?
Yeah. So first of all, I encourage everyone to visit heart.org, H-E-A-R-T.org. You can find everything from a CPR class, right? We want you to know CPR, to information about local events like the Heart Walk and the Heart Ball. Mm. But I also want them to pay special attention to our new Life's Essential 8. So those are the 8 focus areas, Joel. Okay. Things like we added sleep. The sleep component, stress, blood pressure, hypertension, cholesterol, eating healthy, right? Moving more, which is why I love partnering with Camila, because she's going to really help us elevate the messaging around exercise and public health. But, you know, there are so many free resources on our website. You don't have to donate. I mean, sure, we would love your donation. Yeah. We would love you to volunteer. But the first step, I think, would be going out and taking a look at the website and seeing, you know, what could be a best fit for you and your family. And then using your zip code, you know, to sort of find the local contact information, right? So if you type in your zip code in our search engine at heart.org, it'll give you my information, my cell, and my email as well.
Wow. A way to connect directly with Gina. And Camila, what are your, like, if you're thinking about the folks that are around here, you know, this is it's a beautiful day today, but oftentimes the winter is dreary. People get seasonal affect and then they don't want to go outside. They're just curling in front of their Netflix all day long. Give us some pointers that way, you know?
I would say take advantage of days like this. Go on a walk and even go with your friend and talk about your favorite show.
That
counts.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, that counts. And even if you only have 30 minutes, because you are studying all day and you're very busy, those 30 minutes count. So make sure you take care of yourself, eat your vegetables, fruit, water, and go to bed early. That's very important as well. Like, you need your hours of sleep to have a better mood as well.
It's amazing. Again, you mentioned technology, Gina. I was amazed. I had a Fitbit and now I have an Apple Watch. I mean, it's amazing how more disciplined I am because the AI is yelling at me.
You've got someone nagging at you.
It's amazing.
I love it.
Again, heart.org. It's American Heart Month. And indeed, it's just so such a blessing to have you guys with us here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And all the best to our hearts, you know. You know,
that's right.
You could tell that we're kind of emotional people. We lead with our heart on our sleeve.
We sure do.
You know, so it's my pleasure to do that.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing Joel at TalkErie.com.